So our scripture lesson today is from Luke. It's chapter 1. It is verses 26 through 38. And it's the birth of Jesus being foretold. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And so, when people read this, you can have sort of two responses. You can either choose to believe it, or you can choose not to believe it. And then that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. So I want to do a little explanation, because times are changed, and so we sometimes, I don't think, really understand the relationship between Mary and Joseph. So back then, 2,000 years ago, when you were betrothed to Mary was betrothed to Joseph, it was a one-year engagement. And although I'm sure that you guys know people who have gotten engaged and were said when the marriage was, and then they break up, something happens, they break up somewhere in the middle, that would be unusual 2,000 years ago, because it was the same as a divorce. For you to break the engagement, it was considered the same as a divorce. And if someone passed away in the middle, then you were either a widow or a widower. You were not, it was not like you hadn't been married. And so I think when we think of engagement, we don't think of it as that same firm commitment that they did 2,000 years ago. So another thing I'd like for you to remember as we go through this, in Jewish tradition, you had the mother and the father, and then God was part of the birth in every single child. So keep that in mind as we talk about it. So if you want to be a doubter, I'm going to start on the negative side. If you want to be a doubter, because people like to go through scripture and find reasons to prove their point, whatever it is. So if you want to be a doubter, you can look at some of the genealogies that you find in Luke and Matthew, because it takes Jesus' heritage back to Joseph. And so then if you go through and you pick, you can say, oh, well, it says in the Bible that Joseph was his father, so he wasn't really the son of God. But in Luke, and in Luke 2:48, "And when his parents," so Joseph and Mary again, "saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.'" So in this case, does father mean God, or does father mean Joseph? And then from John 8:42, they said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph?" So this is when he goes back to Nazareth. "Whose father and mother we know. How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Because they all knew him as a child growing up. Have you ever gone and found someone that knew you when you were young and either had something like to say, "I never dreamed that you would turn out this good"? Just so you know, that does mean they did not have high expectations for you as a young person. And sometimes it works the other way, that when you were younger, they thought, you know, this and this and this was going to happen, but it never happens. I was having dinner with a teacher the other day, And some of you know him, so we're not going to say their name. But I was having dinner, and he was talking about, we were talking about some of his students that we both knew and how some of them turned out so well. And what he said was, I like to think about those more than the ones that didn't turn out so well. Because he said, I've had some of both. But, and so you can go back and see these references in the New Testament that kind of would imply that Jesus wasn't the Son of God by the way people talk around him. Now, in the rest of the New Testament, according to everything I read and searched on, you don't see these references about him being the son of Mary and Joseph, except in those ones I gave you. So if somebody says, oh, in the Bible, it says that Joseph was the father, you can find that, but it's not in there very often. So if you want to believe, which I think a lot of times it's easier to believe than not to believe. It's easier to believe than not to believe. We can literally say, what does a virgin birth mean when it talks about? And so we don't know that at birth, but when we look at what he does as a man, where people that hadn't walked for a long period of time are healed, that was pretty special. When lepers come to him and are healed, that was special. So the book, Anne gave me three or four books to read, and I finished them last week. Mostly over Thanksgiving and last week. But it was about a missionary, and the lady, whose name I forget,
Barbara.
She had one of the places they lived, there were 10 lepers that would come. And I don't know what you guys think of, but just as some kind of a skin disease. And she would talk about them coming, and she was never able to be around them long enough to heal them. But what she said in the book that she wrote was when she did that, it always made her think of where in the Bible it says Jesus touched them and they were healed. And so even today's medical world, it is not perfectly easy to do that. But what we read in the Bible is Jesus did it with the touch. And so if we have someone that comes into the world that's special, so it's been 2,000 years roughly, we don't have anyone else whose birth we celebrate who's 2,000 years old. I mean, in the world. And sometimes we worry that there's becoming less and less Christians, and I think I did it on a Sunday evening service, and I don't remember the exact number, but it's still around 35 or 40% of the people in the world are Christians. And so sometimes I think we get a little distressed because we think that number is getting smaller. That is still a really big number. And our goal is not to have that number get smaller, but to encourage people to see the love and grace that we can find through Jesus. So, Jeremy, did you change the sign for me?
Doing it today.
Okay. So I changed the sign. What did I say?
I need to check my email.
I don't remember exactly what I told him, so if it changes, it's not his fault, okay? But basically, it says there's always hope in Jesus. And when I was going through that, I told you guys about people saying it was different. And the one person said bleak, which really kind of worried me because we were all pastors, said it was bleak. I thought this was the time that we need to explain to everybody things aren't that bleak, that there's hope. And so Mary says two things kind of at the end of this scripture. She says, whatever God says, I accept. Now, sometimes I think we think, oh, if that means if something bad happens, I'm supposed to accept it. And that's not really true. A lot of times, God is trying to get us to do something to help people, and yet we don't do it. We have the ability to do it, but we don't do it. And so when you read that, don't think it means, oh, if something bad happens, God wants me to accept it. And it might mean that to you, but it also means God wants you to do something, and maybe you're not willing to do it. I always talk to you guys about, I've known there was times that I probably was supposed to be a local pastor way before I really did it, because I was pretty sure that when he was telling me I was supposed to do it, even though Steve wasn't at my church, I was sure I was just overhearing Steve's conversation. It was surely not to me. And God leads us all that way. If you think about it, do you pay attention? And then at the end, Mary says, your, meaning God, will be done. That she's going to do whatever God wants her to do. And so I would tell you that I believe in that birth. But it's up to each of us individually. And so there's no reason to think, if you think God can do whatever God does, because I don't think God has any limits on himself or herself, that God can create an entity in a small Jewish mom 2,000 years ago in a small village. I believe that God can do anything. And so when we have this time of year and people put like bleak and they're worried and stuff like that, God can overcome all this stuff. I don't think we're always really good at overcoming stuff because we're people and we let other people either get in our way or we don't let them help us or we get in our own way. But through God, anything can happen. And that's what I would encourage you to do. Amen?
Amen.
The Advent communion I'm going to use today was originally written by Michelle Torgian, and we are free to use this as long as I gave her credit for it, and I've already done that, so we're good to go. So she begins with an invitation. May you know the God of comfort is with you, and may you see the God of hope with you. We open our anxious hearts. We open them to God's peace. We give thanks and share our joy. In this space and time, we offer God our praise and love. The dawn of hope rests on the horizon, and beams of love reach our doubting hearts. We celebrate the newness of this season, waiting to see how Christ will appear in our world. Even in our despair, a glimmer of hope reaches into our twilight, beckoning us to breathe and wait. Our story tells us that the Christ child whose birth we anticipate will one day sit at tables with strangers and friends, building relationships filled with love and grace. We see this as he fed the multitude, turned water into wine, and ate with dear ones the night before his death. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. "Eat in remembrance of me," he said. He took the cup and in his blessing reminded them that when they sip from the fruit of the vine, to drink in remembrance of him. Jesus, the Christ Emmanuel, God with us, light of the world, the word of life, no matter how we know him or what name we call him, he is our hope, our peace, our joy, and our love. May the Spirit bless us and these elements as we commune to remember him. And so we're going to do communion a little different today. And I've got two helpers that are going to come up here now. The reason I've been canceling communion and putting it on and canceling it is because apparently the UPS does not deliver as soon as they say they're going to. So what I did is I ordered some pre-filled cups, and I did that as a safety precaution as the virus got worse. So there's two parts to this cup. It has the communion wafer on top and the juice is on the bottom. So what you do is you peel off the top, and that'll get you to the wafer. Then you'll peel off the second one, and that'll get you to the juice. So this would be my suggestion, that you'll come up, I'll give you the juice and the wafer. I would suggest you go back to your seat, because the first time you do it, it's like every time, like me, the phone and the light. First time you do it, everything's a little different. But if you have any trouble getting it open, these two lovely gentlemen, all you need to do is raise your hand, and they will be happy to help you. All right? If you're uncomfortable sharing communion because of the virus, and I told you this before, you're free to stay where you are. If you have any trouble coming forward and you want me to bring it to you, just let one of these guys know and I'll bring it to you. So again, if as you come forward, please keep separate as we do in the rest of the service, and we'll begin our communion service. For the nourishment of our spirit, mind, and body, we hope that we may begin to see. And for the comfort from the Prince of Peace, we share our gratitude, gracious God. Encourage us in these shortened days through the long nights of this season. May your hope carry us until dawn arrives again. Amen. Let us pray. Father, again, we can never be grateful enough for your ability for us to come together, to worship, to love you. Let us take your love out into your world. It is not a time of bleakness or despair. Your love and your grace overcomes all. Amen.